This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and it's weird that we use junk to describe some men's genitals when it's really applied to their personalities.
Hey. I'm Brandy Posey, and I got a pitch for you guys. It's a strip club, but it's just people of all shapes and sizes just trying to pull off a hoodie, like a pullover hoodie, and then they're just naked anyway, because you can't get one off without.
Oh,
I saw a lot of men's bodies over break.
Yeah, the bellies be out at the airport.
Oh yeah. You got that bottom belly.
Yep. Anyway, give him a dollar.
That would be so funny if you just started putting a dollar in there.
Hey.
Don't spend it all at once borrow. Yeah. I'm Tess Barker, and why not make the whole store out of girl dinner? That's the Trader Joe's business model.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
We got Barbara. For everyone, that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
Hey, everybody, this is welcome to the show of Showtime.
It's Showtime.
What's going on? Does anybody have anything to promote, or should we just jump into the app? Do we have any words of wisdom to say?
It's January 17th. Happy birthday, Jim Carrey.
Okay.
It's Jim Carrey's birthday?
Let's promote Jim Carrey's birthday. How old is he turning, do you know?
He's born in 1952. Oh, wait. No, 62. So he's what? 50?
He's a time.
51 years old?
Hmm. Oh, wow.
52 years old.
Okay.
Oof. Yep. Weird.
I feel like he would be older by now, so it feels younger. Because I guess he's always felt like he was 40 to me or something. I don't know.
He's totally forever 40. I was thinking that about Steve Martin today, because I love Martin. And I was making breakfast, and I don't know why, but I was just like hit with this like sadness that Steve Martin is aging. And I was like, but we'll never know how old I'm forgetting
he's
that
always
he's
looked
aging.
Old.
He's always the same.
Yeah.
It's like him, Tommy Lee Jones. There's like a certain kind of person that was born looking like that. Like it's like a born this way for grizzled men or like just older looking men who have never looked young.
Yeah. What a blessing.
Yeah. I hope that they hang out a lot. Can I just say God, Steve Martin and Tommy Lee Jones? I hope they're pals.
Do you know the Tommy Lee Jones Jim Carrey story from when they worked on?
No. Oh wait, yeah, he
Batman
hated
Forever
him, right?
Yeah, he hated him because he hated his movie career. Also, he's 62.
Say Tommy Lee Jones hated
Tommy Lee
Jim
Jones
Carrey.
Hated Jim Carrey. Also, Jim Carrey is 62. I did the math wrong because in my head,
I was like, he must be older than okay.
It's 2014 in my brain, so whatever.
That is a lot more comforting.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But Jim Carrey was excited to meet Tommy Lee Jones, like their first day of shooting, and he comes up to him and he's like, "Hey, I'm a really big fan of your work." And he goes, "I don't like what you do. I do not sanction your buffoonery." And then he walked away from him.
That's the most Tommy Lee Jones sentence.
It's a perfect phrase.
It really is. I feel like he literally came out of the womb just like that was the first sentence he said because he knew one day he was going to have to say it to Jim Carrey.
Exactly. His mom's like, what about mom?
I do not
What if you said mama first?
Wow. I got to say, you know what? I don't think the next generation is going to know who Tommy Lee Jones is. If they watch Men in Black, but he hasn't been around for a minute. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of not knowing who people are, Babs and I were on the same show on New Year's, and the host was talking about Jake Gyllenhaal in relation to the Taylor Swift of it all, And Sean, my husband, turned to me and said, didn't he die? And I said, no, you're thinking of Heath Ledger. That's the level
poor
of pop
Jake.
Culture.
Wow.
I know. Damn. I know.
I love that.
I know.
Yeah, we were, there was a kid in the audience, the only kid in like the, you know, for a midnight show, and he's sitting literally 2 feet in front of the stage. Mm-hmm. And we just kept watching him ask his mom who people were, what Y2K was, you know, that was a fun. Mm-hmm. He really got it. He really got all the references.
Yeah, like the setup of this crowd was like, okay, picture like essentially a triangle, right? Like you're on the stage in the middle of the triangle, and then left and right is the majority of the audience, and then at the point of the triangle is the child.
Is the only okay. child.
Is the only child.
So you're, so it was like a catwalk with the kid at the end.
Yeah. As if you're just being presented only to the child.
Yeah. It's like a reverse cult of some kind. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, I'm going to say dirty jokes because I wasn't told not to. So sorry.
That's how I felt. I'm sorry. That's not on us. Yeah. We never promised.
She kept like covering his ears, and I was like, I don't know if this is a joke or not, but whatever.
No, this is like not my fault. He shouldn't be here.
No. Bye. And also, if my dad took me to see Pulp Fiction when I was in sixth grade, then you'll live.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Do you know what's on the internet? You can't hear my little jokes. Take it easy.
I mean, it wasn't like they were fine. They were good sports.
Oh yeah.
But it was just more like it was a funny placement of
right. Yeah. Exactly.
That's He'll have a different 2024 than he did a 2023, I can guarantee.
That's so true. That's so true.
I guess this is growing up.
Oh my God. Have you guys heard the new Blink-182 song?
No, was it good?
Did you know one exists?
I knew that they got back together. It was something that I wanted to look into. Is it bad?
I just heard it randomly on the radio yesterday, and it's like a ballad. And it's like a sad song, which I don't know if I would have gone for your first foray back.
So like and Adam's song. Okay, great.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's kind of like talking about like coming back together, but it's very much like, literally the chorus is something like, why do I have to die so you'll love me? So that's...
Oh man, I love being an angsty 50-year-old millionaire.
That's the thing. It was like I guess I shouldn't think this will sound different than it does, but it does. I don't know. You'll have to listen to it.
My follow-up question is like, what stations is it playing on?
I don't even know what station I was listening to, honestly. That I've just been like randomly listening to the radio again in the car, and so I have no idea who was playing it, but they were, and I heard it. And you know what? Like the chorus is not bad, but the beginning is just like so hokey that it's just a little like tough. But hey, you know what? They're back. Good for them.
I'm ready.
Just listen. Yeah. I just want to see. I just want to know what you think.
I want a large chunk of that album to be about aliens.
Please.
I would like that. That's what we really want. Listen
it's
up, Blink.
Time.
Yeah. It's time. And you know what it's time for now? Our episode.
Wow. And it's a good one. Nailed
it's a it. Great episode. We're really excited to have this gal back on the show. She has a new album out called Better Living Through Femistry, which you can find anywhere through Kill Rock Stars. Go check it out. And please enjoy our hang with Andy Iwanzio. Samsonite. Yeah. All right, I'm sorry.
Dumb and dumber.
I can't help it. I can't
Holds
help
up.
It.
That's funny that you say that because our Christmas tree guy this year, he was like, Sean, he was writing our name on the tree, and he's like, Sean with a U or a W, and he's like an EAN. He goes, S. Well, at least I got that right, or I was close. And he goes, you know what that movie that's from? Dumb and Dumber. Samsonite. And then he just kept quoting Dumb and Dumber to us the whole time.
That's it. It's coming
Hell
back.
Yeah, I gotta hang out with this Christmas tree guy. Let's say hi to our guest, the hilarious Andy Iwanzio. Hello.
Hi, how are y'all?
Doing good.
It's a pullover. No, it's a cardigan, but thanks for asking.
Do you want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Four women on a podcast.
That's what our new tagline should be. You want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
I don't know if you've ever heard Jeff. I like heard some interview with Jeff Bridges, and Jeff Bridges like talks in such a, it's like hearing Bob Dylan talk about,
I'm
like,
sure.
The way he talks about it, it sounds like Bob Dylan trying to describe Ace Ventura. It's like this old wizened voice referencing an old Farrelly Brothers movie to you. Well, the thing I remember the most is putting my head out of the rectum of a rhinoceros. He sounds like Kris Kristofferson describing the Barbie movie.
Wow.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
That's something I didn't know I needed. Very accurate description of Jeff Bridges.
Do you guys know the story of how Kris Kristofferson got his music heard?
Mm-mm.
So he like was a janitor at like the record label where like Johnny Cash was, and he was trying to get his music to Johnny Cash forever. And then, like, he kept, like, throwing the demo away. And then he, because he was a veteran, he took a helicopter from a friend that he, and he took a helicopter to Johnny Cash's house, landed it on his lawn, and then was like, listen to my music. And then
wow.
And then he was like, oh, this is actually good. I guess I should help this guy out.
Holy shit. See, and they tell us not to do the sparkle. Like,
don't
the
do the
glitter.
Sparkle. I've worked in casting. Don't do the sparkle.
Yeah, the glitter in the.
It doesn't work most of the time, but when it does work, you get Kris Kristofferson.
That's fucking awesome.
Kris Kristofferson does that once, and now every street corner in America is insufferable with one dude in a pair of headphones trying to sell you a mixtape.
For real.
Unless you have military-grade weapons to terrify people, you should not be pushing your music on people.
Maybe the LAPD.
Well, also, like, you have to give someone a CD player, too, with the...
That's true.
Yeah, you have
to also sell them a CD player.
At this point, I'm like, I don't know how to play this. Like, literally nothing has the slot.
I bet. Have my last car for that reason.
Yeah. I've had the same Kesha CD in my car for, like, 5 years. I bet the kids are bringing CDs back, though.
Oh, they are. I bet you that's going to happen. And good for them. Somebody needed to, frankly.
Yeah.
The way that music got played to me the last time was I was in a Lyft, and there was music. There's a dude who's like, his name was like Gary or whatever. I could see from the thing. I described him like Gary. And he's like, yeah, Gary. And we're driving, and I could hear like shitty acoustic music playing, and it's like very like wannabe Dylan. I like grew up going to folk open mics because my parent was a folk singer, so I like knew right away some like wannabe singer. And I look at it, and it says Gary's music, and then it says Gary. And the dude was in a Lyft playing his own acoustic music.
Yeah,
and then like. Yeah. I look back at my phone. He's like, you like this music? I was like, yeah, it's okay. He's like, it's me. I'm like, I already knew. And then I look back to see what the song was. And the song was Jack Daniels. And it was talking about drinking and driving.
Oh,
I learned to drink and drive.
Damn, Gary.
That's a bold move.
That's a very bold move.
You know, and I feel weird about the AI or, you know, robot drivers. And then I'm like, well, I don't know if Gary should be.
That's how I feel.
Garying.
I've met enough Garys in my day to know that I'd prefer the robots.
Maybe just not Garys. Maybe just not Garys behind the wheel.
Has anybody else? I've also had a Lyft driver play their own music. Were you?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's when we're coming back from the airport.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my God.
I've had the reverse happen. When I was a Lyft driver, I had a coked out producer get in the car. And then he was like, can I just play you some of my artist music to let me know? And you just let me know what you think about this. And he was just like gnashing his teeth, playing me bad pop. And I was like, man, it really upsets like a record producer to be like, sorry, dude, I like ska.
They're like, we don't produce that anymore.
Yeah, he was
what
like,
if he had been like, I have a great, that would have been amazing if he was like, I have a hot new ska artist. You're yeah. like, I know about them. Okay.
Yeah, I probably already know, and you can't afford this cocaine, sir. That band has 12 guys in it. Yeah, I guess you're give them more money. They need it. They're also the two teachers. Let them be.
I think I've told y'all all my like nightmare stories and lifts, but not nightmares. You just ride enough lifts, you're gonna get a like of weird course. Stories. And there's a weird story on the album. I think I told y'all. Did I ever tell you my like lift story?
I don't know.
Say it again.
It's been a while microphone. Since you were on, and everything goes it. In. Yeah, we forget everything as soon as it happens. So.
Well, I'll crib it a little bit. I talk to Lyft drivers. I still do. I engage with them because
they're people.
I'm not like, sir.
Yeah, I know. If they
engage, thine eyes. Yeah.
If they have a cute dog or some funny thing, or they're playing good music. Like I've had like met all of these really super interesting people. I think I've told you like the greatest one being, I got in a Lyft and I met a guy who was a witness at Elvis's second wedding. He was a retired Ooh. Entertainment director for the Sands Hotel in Las Vegas.
Holy shit.
See, that's
and
cool.
he opens up his glove box and hands me back a piece of paper. And it's a fucking letter between him and the judge talking, reminiscing about Elvis's second wedding. So I've got that at home. That's like the greatest. But
that's cool.
Wait, letter?
He had copies for you?
Yeah, I got out a whole stack.
A baller.
Wow.
Keep hard copies.
Yes, absolutely. I love it.
The wildest one, though, is that I was in Denver. I was in a car, and I was like, said, hey, ma'am, I like get in this car. And I'm like, hey, ma'am, what's your name? He's like, Jeff. I'm like, oh, you originally from Denver, Jeff? And he's like, no. Just moved here from Chicago. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. What do you do? Anything creative or anything? He's like, I do comedy.
Oh, no.
He's nice like, know. Oh, do you know my friend Megan or my friend Jeremy? He's like, no. I'm just like, oh, if you're ever in Seattle, like, look me up. I'll totally, you know, point you towards some good open mics or some shows. Let me just add you on Facebook. He's like, taking a break from Facebook.
Uh-oh.
And I was
Ooh,
like,
that's a man that got canceled.
Now, what I find out later is that Jeff had been outed as an abuser on the Chicago comedy scene.
Oh, no.
And he ran away from Chicago to Denver to get away from these claims. But what I said in that moment was, oh, I understand taking a break from Facebook. It's been so intense lately with these abusers being outed. I was like, I basically said, oh, I understand taking a break from Facebook. You're there.
You're the problem. You can run, but you can't hide, Jeff. Okay, I'm going to follow you to Denver. And
also,
so is
you
Andy.
Can't stop saying you do comedy.
You did comedy, I guess.
You can hear. I'm gonna do the thing that you should listen to the album to hear the rest of the story.
Yes,
yeah.
Great tease.
But they like the label was like, is that Jeff's real name? I'm like, no, it's not Jeff. But every time I've told the joke on stage and used the word Jeff, somebody comes up to me or you mean Mike, right?
There's a lot of people filling in the gap there.
Yeah. And that's quaint that people think there's only one.
The most hilarious name change on the album is like I used the name Green for a person whose real name is Trails. It's just like one drug dealer name for another drug dealer name. It's not really like it's just one inanimate object and another inanimate object.
Please call me Trails. Chemtrails is my father.
Please.
So the album, Andy, tell us about the album Better Living Through Femistry. It's out now. So where did you record it?
I recorded it. It's out now. It came out last Friday. It went to number 3 on the iTunes comedy chart.
Fuck, I yeah. feel need
to say, as yeah. I call for my day job. we recorded it in Portland. Mr. Kyle Clark helped produce it.
Mm-hmm. Best.
And it came out on Kill Rock Stars, which I'm still kind of dumbfounded by why they would want me.
Because you're very funny and a delight. Like, any people okay. would be happy to have you.
Well, but it's good. We all have it's good. You got to keep yeah. having that imposter syndrome, or else you wouldn't be a comedian. So,
that's true. Yeah,
but
yeah.
it's called Better Living Through Femistry, which is a reference to a Fatboy Slim album. Oh, <yeah. laughs> but the old DuPont Chemical slogan was Better Living Through Chemistry.
Right.
And so there's been lots of riffs on that.
Nice.
And yeah, just a fun joke.
Yeah, I love that. How did you come up with the name? That's really fun.
It's just a Fatboy Slim. I'm like, all my other album was Hard Trans, which is another ravey DJ joke. They're all just puns on rave stuff. I don't know.
I think millennials love puns, rave stuff, and Fatboy Slim. Like, you definitely yeah. hit the trifecta.
We were rewatching Sex and the City, and there's a lot of Fatboy Slim in Sex and the City.
He was out there.
Yeah.
I finally got to see him in person. And so the thing that made me realize, I listen to a lot of dance music on Fridays. So I listen to the BBC because it's like, it's nighttime. It's like nighttime, ravey time there and are like 10 a.m. here. And like, that is my energy level. I listen to dance music during the day, but can't stand it at night. But
that's fair.
But it's just, I've realized that what he embodies is somebody who doesn't take himself seriously, and it's kept him, he's what we don't have here in the United States, but what the UK has had for a long time was dudes going through midlife crises and then having to reassert their place in a youth culture. And that's happened with dance music DJs, and that's like resulted in many different things. But Fatboy Slim slowly becoming just like a dorky dad who does goofy shit during his songs. He like he'll put on a mask of himself. Like, I got to see him in Bumbershoot here funny. In Seattle. He put on a mask that was scanned with a picture of himself and then ran out into the crowd and then along the barricade and then back up onto the stage. He does like all of this goofy stuff. And, like, it's fun to see somebody who's so silly about their DJing, because it's something it's so neat to see somebody who's not taking it very seriously, and that's kept him doing it longer than other people. His, like, dance music videos are funnier than other dance music artists.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what's, that's given him longevity, and it's really neat to see him. So I guess.
Yeah, I always that's one of the reasons why I love the Beastie Boys so much, is they always like made fun of themselves, or like just silly as fuck. And like, you just tell us three people being like, what's the dumbest shit we can think of? You know?
Yeah, it feels like that's always my favorite vibe. Aging with grace. It's like, you can't just, we get to be 40 and be like, oh, take me seriously.
Speaking of being silly, I have to tell you guys about the LA Breakfast Club.
Oh my God.
Oh.
Tess attended a secret. She said she wasn't sure if it'd be a cult.
I wasn't sure if it was going to be a cult. It's a breakfast club that's been ongoing in Los Angeles for over 100 years. It's in this auditorium called the Friendship Auditorium that's across the street from Griffith Park.
And into my eggs. Put that into my eggs.
And then they meet every Wednesday. They've always met every Wednesday at 7 a.m., like since 1921 or something like that. So I saw that information on the marquee. I always run by Griffith Park, and for years I've run by it and be like, one day I'm going to go to that Friendship Club. Like, I've just got it. I'm dying to know. So then I finally Googled it, and it looked like really cool. Like, it's they've maintained like a lot of the traditions, but then like every meeting they have like someone come give like a talk.
Yeah.
So like the way it's structured. And so this talk was about, this woman had written a book about the history of cults and how they've impacted our food. So I was like, yep, definitely want to hear about that. This is the Breakfast Club I'm going to. I went, you guys, First of all, the silliest thing I've done in so long. It is so silly. It couldn't be any sillier. Like, it okay, is okay. The greeting there, everyone, the main greeting and then response back and forth back to each other is always ham to you and eggs. Like, they ham and egg back to each other. Like, everything's ham and egg. They have, it's like, oh, and by the way, it's primarily people our age.
Wait, really?
Is it? Okay, yes. Interesting.
It's young
we thought
people.
It would be mostly older people.
I thought it would be mostly assumed young people.
Mostly older, yeah.
No, there's tons of people our age. And like one guy wow. I was talking to, I guess what happened was it was like ongoing for a long time and mostly like a way for business people to connect. Although mm-hmm. it's the traditions have not changed and they're very silly. So it's okay. always been like super silly.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it started dwindling. And like 10 years ago, this guy was telling me a bunch of quirky millennials came in and just revived the whole thing.
Man, give it up for the ironic millennial, man. Yes, we're saving industry.
So it's like, it's kind of like a satire of the Shriners. There's an okay. MC. Mm. She fucking crushed it. Her one-liners were hilarious. Her delivery was perfect. So she hosts the whole thing. Mm-hmm. There's songs that you sing along to, like on a projector, about like what a great day it's gonna be. while they're singing the songs, they turn down the lights in this amazing auditorium and the whole place is lit by candlelight.
Whoa, cool.
There's a pianist. There's these two sawhorses, one's named mm-hmm. Ham and one named Eggs. And when you get in, people get initiated in, they like have to put their hand in slime on the sawhorse. there's a greeting line where you do a ham and egg handshake to all the people. It's the silliest thing.
Holy shit.
I loved it.
How long was it?
Wow.
Please, if anyone wants to go back.
I mean, no, we're and obviously
in.
Going.
I mean, immediately in. Immediately in.
I feel like every time somebody's tried to convince, this feels like when every time somebody's tried to convince me to watch the movie Magnolia.
Yeah. You're
I'm
not
just like,
wrong.
It's a lot of elements, and then somebody's like, it's really good. This is just like I Heart Huckabees, another movie I don't understand.
I Heart Huckabees went completely over my head, but you will understand the LA Breakfast. It is a little bit like you needed to be there because it's so weird. Yeah. Like the guy that I was talking to was like, you're never going to be able to explain your morning to anyone else. I was like, you're right.
Oh my God, amazing.
So the way it's structured is, and everyone is like, really friendly. Like, it's just a bunch of like really nicely. Yeah. So I went by myself and you just kind of met a lot of really interesting, friendly people, cool. had a nice breakfast. So you just drink coffee and have your breakfast and talk. Then the singing and the traditions start. So that's the first hour is just like talk and traditions. And then the speaker talks for the second half. So the whole thing was 2 hours.
Can I ask how's the food quality? Were we
good.
Talking food? Really?
Good. Yeah.
Oh. Okay. We were
nothing
worried
fancy.
About that.
We were worried. Great. I was talking to Brandy the night before. They had oatmeal.
Hey, I can work with oatmeal. Great.
Oatmeal.
I love that your concern is whether or not they had oatmeal and not that they were like going to shed the blood of an infant into a goblet you had to drink in a mimosa.
Well, that was the first concern, but
no, that's happening on the west side of town.
Yeah. Dare I say we add this now? We have a few New Year's resolutions for this podcast. Yes. And dare I say we add this to this list that me and Brandy go with Tess to our breakfast club.
I think
so. Our other two, so we got three now. We go with Tess to a breakfast club. You guys have to see Fabio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to see Fabio.
And we're going to Shacktoberfest.
We're going to go to Shacktoberfest with Shaquille O'Neal's Halloween festival.
I am thrilled for this year. This sounds like a great year.
They're all amazing. They're all great. Goals.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if you can consider them goals, but they're something.
I'm writing them all at the top of our shared note right now, just so we are like manifesting them.
I mean, seeing Fabio is going to be the one that I guess you can't try. It's just going to have to happen.
But you know what?
Then if it gets closer to the end of the year, maybe we're going to have to make it happen.
We might have to manufacture. I think we should probably, Brandy, set a Google alert for Fabio in case.
Yes. When do you want to set that? We can like
you're saying like a Google recording.
Like an alert to see when
I want to get news. I want to get Fabio news.
Oh yes. Good idea. That's and do you have any tips on how we can see Fabio?
First off, I still enjoy that all your New Year's resolutions sound so LA. They just sound like, we need to go to Rob Schneider's foosball tournament. He does it every Wednesday. He gives out shots of Hypnotic. And then we go sit in the Batmobile. But you know, other than that, we're going to suntan with Barbara Streisand out on her fake lawn. You know, that she does every Wednesday.
It's the greatest city in the world, Andy.
Yeah. Well, the Breakfast Club thing sounds so fun. Like, that's do love about LA. The only thing I know about Fabio is that I've always wanted to, I didn't want to meet Fabio, but I definitely have wanted to go on through the roller coaster that he was on. Rock and Fire, I believe.
Oh, you know.
It's because this will be a me and Brandy moment for a second. It was at Busch Gardens, was it not? I believe it was at Busch Gardens was a... Sorry, this is an East Coast.
That's fine. Is it still around or no?
I can't remember if it's still around. I believe it was a roller coaster at Busch Gardens.
Oh, okay.
Apollo's Chariot.
Apollo's Chariot. Okay.
Chariot. Let me check.
Is the ride still open?
I'm looking right now.
I was going to say I thought it was in LA because I was going to say that could be our backup if we don't see him.
No, he was there to celebrate the open hall. He was there to celebrate the opening of the roller coaster.
Right. Wow. It was, I mean, it's a beautiful, like the amusement park's known for how gorgeous the botanicals are. Like they like gorgeous do park. Just a much like Hershey Park is like really pretty. They're just like really neat parks that also have rides.
But is it the Busch brand? Is that like Busch beer?
Yeah, because I've been there's multiple Busch Gardens, I think.
Just
right?
Busch is like the grossest beer, so it's so funny. That's
I've been to Ab Busch Gardens and they have the Clydesdales.
Yeah, like
it's
the Busch
brand. Them, yeah.
But I think it's owned by the family in the way that like Hearst owns a little bit of everything in L.A.
Right.
Exactly.
Anheuser-Busch is the Budweiser, which is like drinkable.
It is, but I think Busch beer specifically has always been like
undrinkable.
Yeah. I don't associate it with lovely gardens. That's all.
That's true.
It's Busch Gardens is like genuinely fucking gorgeous. Like,
I've heard that. I'm just saying that they should go with a different name.
I know. I'm getting old. Last time I was at Disneyland, my sister and I could not stop talking about the landscaping.
It's really what it's the landscaping is supposed to be what it was first in a lot of these like East Coast, at least the East Coast amusement parks are a lot that way. They're like built around the idea of just having like picnic grounds. So there aren't, my brother who's a priest, but the only thing we have in common is that we always go and do touristy stuff that is related maybe to Disney or other things. So I came to LA and we had lunch at it's a Japanese restaurant that's up on top of one of y'all's hills.
Yamashiro.
It was beautiful, but that was like one of those things that we always do is we'd go see some touristy stuff, but it always is rooted in like that's like our era of loving like roadside culture. And so like anything with like gardens or any sort of
that's cool.
It's the thing we have in common is like roadside culture. And it was really gorgeous. And I enjoy that about like going to any place that has gardens. And he showed me we would go down to Burbank and just go to any place that was Disney animators would hang out at.
Oh, that's a good tip.
Yeah. That's really fun.
What is it? The Irish bar? There's a bar down there a restaurant that has like the Disney animators would carve or draw figures on the tables, and they like save the edge of the tables. I think it's like the...
Oh, that's cool.
I keep wanting to say Twisted Kilt, but it's not. Anyway.
Tam O'Shanter.
There it is.
That is a really cool restaurant. Really good vibes in there.
But it's
a great wintery place. You get a nice soup.
Yeah, they do a very they do it up for the holidays.
Yeah.
But that's like our we love Googie architecture, anything that's that era. And I just really enjoy it. He still really enjoys it. So like amusement parks and roadside culture are the things we could still that's talk fun. About.
Yeah. It's nice to have those kind of bonding experiences. Yeah. Man, one of the best parts about Busch Gardens, too, is that it's near Colonial Williamsburg, which is an old timey town with like little people running around in like their little outfits, and it's like very close to it. So the idea that you can just like watch somebody churn butter and then get on a roller coaster within an hour of each other is just that's what the East Coast is all about.
That's like the East Coast version of us being like, you can surf and ski in the same day.
Exactly. Exactly. The exact same thing.
That's definitely us. We definitely have like, you'll definitely go to, you'll definitely be in Baltimore and you're like, you could see a place that was on the wire. And also here's where this is where the national anthem was written, like across the street from each other.
Yep. Equally important history.
This is where McNulty threw up repeatedly.
Yeah, here's where Divine ate shit. And then here's where Betsy Ross did a flag. Actually, that's
and then here's the Best Buy from cereal.
I've seen that. I've been there.
I actually was really into cereal when I was in Baltimore once, and I am somewhat ashamed to say that I went to the Best Buy.
It's good to place yourself in the moment. I hope they have a plaque for that at this point. Like... Like they probably sold a lot of USB cords because of cereal.
They must have. Yeah, like no one talks about that.
Yeah. I was rewatching Cecil B. Demented, the John Waters movie.
Good one.
And it was like better than I remembered it. I highly recommend a rewatch of that one. Like considering how much we like examine and see ourselves, see like stars. I think it was ahead of its time and like making commentary on like films and stuff.
He's always ahead of his time.
Oh, 100%. That's like, I think, one of my favorite ones. I love, man, celibacy.
Timeless
celluloid.
And ahead of his time.
Absolutely.
We have to go churn some butter really quick.
And then get our roller coaster. Whee! Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
I'm Andy.
Thank you. And it's time. We're going to play a little game called This or That. There are no wrong questions.
Or answers.
Or are there?
Or answers. No.
I kind of like how Babs said it.
Or answers.
No, I like
we're like, no, there's nothing wrong with what we're doing. The rest is on you.
We've done nothing wrong.
There's no wrong question.
This is the LA confidence I've been wanting to hear. I'm snorting it up off my screen like it's cocaine.
Honestly, I wish. That would my life would be so different.
I'm taking all of this entitlement back downstairs and throwing it at my coworkers.
Good.
I always think, so you're like talking about working in day job. Side note, it's funny, not funny, but when, you know, so the comedy community suffered a loss recently. Kenny DeForest, super sweet guy, super hilarious comic, recently passed away. And I was thinking about it and just like, you know, when someone passes, you always reflect and you're like, you know, how can I, whatever, how can I improve my life? And it's like an ode to this person. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I was like, there's nothing else I can do. I have to work. I have to survive. So I can't go in there and be like, fuck you guys. I'm going to live my dream and that's it. So, 'cause I have to live. So I'm like, oh, God damn it. I think I'm already doing this shit.
Yeah.
Anyway,
well, that's
but
good,
it's also
Babs.
Annoying.
It's good to be already doing this shit.
I guess it's good.
Yeah, it's good that you're doing it. It's
I also don't have the like, fuck this, I'm quitting. You know what I mean? I wish that was also part of it because that'd be great.
It's one of those things where like I saw that he'd passed away and I didn't know him, but I met him. He did a drop in on at a show that I was doing in Seattle, I think, I want to say 2 years ago, maybe a year ago. And I only met him for the tiniest bit of time and was so sweet. Such a nice guy and such a sweetheart. And I think I think it just speaks to like being nice in a small way to people, even when you're just dropping into some scene and I think that's that seems like exactly his MO, and I think that's like a simple enough thing to like carry forth, even if you didn't know him, you know?
No,
that's totally true and very lovely, Andy.
Yeah. And go look up his comedy if you never saw, because he's great. It's a good way to remember him.
He's got a great.
Anyway, let's play a game.
Okay.
Okay. Kenny would like. Kenny would want us to play a game. Goddamn it.
Kenny would want us to play this or that.
This or that.
Okay, waffle or pancake?
Ooh.
It's a toughie.
Talk it out.
I'm gonna say pancake. I think like this.
Ooh, you almost said waffle, and then you said pancake.
Well, it's a hard question.
It's difficult. Which waffle were you considering?
The idea that like you can still freeze a pancake if after you make them and then heat them back up, throw way too much butter and pancake, way too much syrup on it in a microwave, and it'd still be the jam. But like waffles, I don't know. It's one of these things where like we would always go to Denny's and you'd order the pancakes, not because you were to eat them, but because they weren't for you, they were for your future self. You wouldn't be able to finish them. You'd put them in the you take them to go, put them in the refrigerator, forget about it. The next morning you wake up, and then realize you still had pancakes, and you're like, "Thank you, past self." Like,
I'm gonna be honest.
Time travel.
I is never in my entire life occurred to me to freeze a pancake, Andy. It's the fact that that is the deal breaker for you is kind of blowing my mind.
Dad would make a shit ton of pancakes on Saturday mornings, and so then we'd only get to eat a few of them, but then we'd freeze them. Mm-hmm. And so much in that Colonial Williamsburg kind of way, we would scurry the pancakes together and freeze them for the weeks ahead. And we'd microwave them in the old-fashioned way, 30 seconds by hand.
There was no air fryers. No.
No, there was no air fryers then.
No. Speaking about amusement parks, one of my favorite things about my childhood is my dad would make us pancakes all the time, but then sometimes you would go down for breakfast for pancakes and he would have made Mickey and Minnie Mouse pancakes, and that was a secret code that we were going to Disneyland.
Oh my God.
Oh shit.
Wow.
It was like the best.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. I love that.
We would get banana pancakes occasionally, or it didn't mean anything other than the bananas had gone bad.
That is a good way to move bananas.
It is.
I get mad when Adam throws them away because I'm like, what the fuck? I could have made something with that.
Yeah,
what
it could be bread.
Let's not be wasting $1.49 here.
Yeah. We had, you know, our amusement park in Utah was called Lagoon. So whenever we were going to go to Lagoon, we'd come downstairs and there'd just be a big puddle.
I feel like the joke I was going to make was going to be like, it was going to be in the most Baltimore way possible. I was like, when we go downstairs and there was pancakes and there was a bunch of beer in it, we knew we were going to Busch Gardens.
You just had some bush for breakfast, baby.
We came down and there was a bush, and that's how we knew.
If there was a bunch of hair extensions and a pool of water, we were going to Wild World.
My dad would enter in for contests, would send in entries for contests everywhere. And so we'd occasionally just win stuff. Oh, and my dad won tickets to Wild World, but also won a limo ride. So we took the limo ride to Wild World.
Yes.
And when we got it, it's just like, we got out, people were staring at us because it's like, for for y'all, it's like magic. It's like Six Flags Magic Mountain. It's like like a huge. It's just a water park, and we got out, and people stared at us like we were famous.
Taking a limo to the water park. That's oh my god. Wow. I'm not gonna add it to our list, but yes. I'm
but
just saying.
It's close. It's just it's right on the edge. Get on the list. It's right there.
I love winning a limo ride too. What a great like prize to win.
Seriously.
No, that's
comboed it. It was great.
Yeah, that's, I love that's
that.
Genius.
I feel like when you're a kid, riding in a limo was like the equivalent of going to the moon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was describing to somebody how, like, because I've been slowly trying to describe to people more and more, like, how, like, dance music culture in like especially the UK is different than American dance music culture. And one of the things I was trying to describe is how rap songs sound in the UK is so much. It's like weirder to say that like one of the big songs right now that's huge, that's like a big hip hop hit over there, is just talking about it's just a guy talking about how he's gonna have this ride for his girls to ride around with, and here that'd be like a limo or stretch or an SUV, but one's just like, oh, get everything ready for a sprinter van. Got the champagne in the sprinter van. It's all gassed up for these birds. The idea is
basically British rappers travel like the Real Housewives cast.
Yeah,
exactly. That's exactly it. It's just like almost bragging about like their Sienna, Dodge caravan.
Yeah, it's only 50,000 miles on it, isn't it?
I will say, Andy recently taught me how to DJ, which was really exciting.
Oh yeah,
DJ Aunt Lisa got leveled up because all DJ Aunt Lisa's done before is played like, you know, cued a song on Spotify basically. And so Andy taught me how to actually mix songs and like sample and stuff, and it was fucking awesome and I appreciate it.
Yeah, we got, do you have any plans to?
Well, I am, I don't think you guys will be here actually, but I'm doing, after 50 Worst Jokes, we're doing a dance party. So that's
I might
first
be here. I need to respond to that email, sorry.
Oh, I mean, it's fine, but that's my first gig. I need to get, well, I'll have to get a board though for that, but I'm gonna get it.
It's so. they're really cheap. The the Pioneer one that I was traveling with was like 200. It's a really, the price point's so cheap. Like I traveled with that one, but I had enough money put aside to replace it if I got broken in transit. That tells you how cheap it is. it's not really that expensive now, and that I like that because it's when I'm teaching people, especially kids, with equipment that's not very expensive, then they don't feel like they're going to break it. And there's a level of anxiety that's taken off of the teaching process. And so, it's you know, it's finally down to a reasonable amount. Like
I'm sure it used to be like crazy.
Oh, for
when
sure.
Like when I lived in Baltimore growing up, hearing dance music on, like, I didn't have we had a shitty computer, so it would be like some like little file like you would download and it would be a dance music song. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't 18, so I couldn't go into any clubs. I couldn't buy turntables and I couldn't buy records, and I couldn't, like, the turntables cost like, I don't know, like $500 to $800. And then the mixer would be another $500. And then the records would be thousands of dollars.
Oh my God.
You know, it's like the price point was $2,000. And then if you weren't in a big place with a lot of record stores, then like all of the best records were going to whoever the person behind the counter were smoking weed with.
Yeah.
But now it's only cost like $200. And then y'all gave me lists. I've had the comedians give me lists of like 10 to 15 songs that they wanted. And whereas like in the past that would have taken so long, this only took like a Saturday morning of me just going and downloading this stuff. And dance music's still around because of like just that it's gotten affordable. It's very democratic in a way that, like, mm-hmm. you know, playing guitar can sometimes not be for people. Yeah, and so I don't know. I'm trying to be a good ambassador about like dance music culture. And I think that like teaching people how to put you did you but you already had a you had already DJed with playlists and stuff. I think that people
yeah,
can
yeah, but
DJ,
that's not the same, you know.
But people can put together a playlist that's almost as good as a DJ set. It's mm-hmm. the it's the programming and knowing what to play next.
Well, totally. I mean, that's the so this is yeah. what's the biggest advantage is because, you know, I'll DJ and I'll have something queued up, but because I'm trying to look for the next song, mm-hmm. I've had so many drunk moments where I've accidentally played the next song and mm-hmm. not meaning to, but I'm trying to queue it up.
I've
so
been that's there what, for a few of those.
Yes, yeah, you guys have experienced this many times. And then I'm like, fuck. And like, I try to go back to the song and it's like fucked up because it's already been played.
The momentum's gone.
I'm having very specific visuals of you at Silver Lake Lounge.
I think that was, and that's been, we were doing the show, it's, I've called it many things, but I teach comedians how to DJ, and then they DJ the first set, and it's hilarious because, like, the first set, for comedians, you, like, work up to having an hour, but, like, an hour is the most basic set for any DJ, mm-hmm. so, like, the idea, the, like, confluence of, like, the contrast and how much time you have to do the first time you do something is very funny, but also comedians not knowing what to do if they can't have a microphone in their hands, how they just act in like frame behind mm-hmm. DJ decks when they can't talk out loud is very funny.
But it is very weird because that is also part of my DJing is saying really stupid shit.
Keep that. That's a, I like that. It's
yeah,
signal.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll yeah. it'll
be your
stay.
Own soundboard.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was really awesome. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah, no, you killed it. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Okay, Andy, time for another serious question.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. morning people or night owls?
Morning people.
Really?
Really?
Okay. What morning time people. Do you get up?
I get up at like I think like 5 or I what? Get up for I get up for work at like 5:45.
Wow. Oh, wow.
I mean it's also because of like I'm just realizing that I can't stay up late for because of my epilepsy. Mm. And as I've gotten older, like I can't stay up. Oh, like I can't worry myself or stress myself out or stay up late because those are triggers. And
interesting.
I had some of that happen. I've like stressed myself out too much a couple weeks ago after like coming home from a comedy festival and then running an open mic and then going home and then waking
Lord.
Up for work.
Yeah.
And it gave me an episode. So, but I like listening to dance music on Saturday mornings. Mm-hmm. I cannot recommend listening to dance music really early in the morning on like a weekday or a Saturday. It's always when I would listen to it when I was a kid. And so mm-hmm. like I've never had the same like I was trying to think about this earlier that like you like make memories based upon the songs you're hearing. And especially in dance music. And some people are like, I can't hear that song anymore. I used to do drugs to it. Can't listen to it now. But like dance music, I just listen to in the morning. So it's already real to me. I don't know. Do you all have dance music songs that were ruined for you?
No, I have songs that I did drugs to, but like due to the nature of the drugs I did, it's just they're great memories.
I think I only have fond memories of them.
I mean, I was definitely a raver kid. Like, I was like the, I still listen to like Paul Oakenfold, Tiesto, Digweed.
Paul Oakenfold has one of my greatest guilty pleasures of all time is a Paul Oakenfold song called Starry Eyed Surprise.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
yeah,
it is,
that song's great.
And it's, there's, I don't know what it is about the dude from Crazy Town's voice, but it is butter to me. It really is this frequency of tone where if I ever met Shifty Shell Shock, I'm going to kiss him. I'm in a weird place where Butterfly is still a jam to me.
I know. We've gotten to the point where Butterfly is kind of a classic, dare I say.
Yeah.
Our friend Josh lived in Hollywood once upon a time and had some neighbors move in across the street and realized that they were from Crazy Town or it was that singer or something. I don't know.
God.
And they were like, hey, can you help us move around a little bit? We'll smoke you out. And he's like, sure. And then he helps them move and they're like, all right, let's smoke out. And it was not weed. It was meth. It was meth.
Oh, no. Wait, and they did it after moving?
I don't know the exact arrangements of the story, but I know that he offered to smoke them out and it was not weed.
Also, I've talked about this on stage, so I can say it here, but as someone who's smoked both meth and pot in my life, it's impossible to get them confused.
Yeah. Well, he didn't confuse it. They said, like, let's smoke, and then
saw before they smoked that it was speed.
Yes.
Okay. I thought they didn't smoke it. We smoked meth.
They didn't smoke it and then find out.
Maybe it's just like they just assumed they knew they were from the band, so they like had to put that on because
they were like, we know our reputation. Yeah.
People are gonna if they hear you met Shifty Shell Shock, you're like, well, was he? He's from Crazy Town. Did he have an insane house in a crazy town? And you're like, yeah. We helped him move his insane house and smoked speed.
But honestly, it would make a lot more sense to do it before moving. So yeah. Maybe that's okay.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God. Everything's somehow on the ceiling, though. I don't understand. But it's in the house. And that's all that matters.
Yeah, I moved it in with my super strength.
Yeah. All the dishes are in the bathroom. It's fine.
I don't know if you.
No longer has doorknobs, but.
That Crazy Town album has like the most. The album art for their album with like the girl with the piercings like licking like a lollipop is maybe the most iconic like 2000s ephemera.
Yes. It's of a time for sure.
Any other this or that?
I got one.
See, let's do one more. All
right. Phone in bathroom or no phone in bathroom?
Oh.
A phone, of course.
I was going to say, you're not raw-dogging reality on the toilet, are you?
Raw-dogging reality? No.
Imagine I've got sitting with your thoughts.
I've got a multitask.
Do you guys all do phone in bathroom?
Mm-hmm. Not all the time. Sometimes.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, I'm the only big-time anti, huge anti. No.
Wow.
No.
Whoa, okay.
No, all right. What are you doing? Sean brings his phone into the bathroom, and I'm like, he'll send me texts while he's on the toilet, and I'm like,
I'm not texting anyone.
And like, why are you planning on being there for so long? Get in, get out. It's such a disgusting habit from a germ perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, but no.
You're not. Everything's gross too.
Are you still like a bathroom reader, like having a book in the bathroom? Mm-hmm. But then like. I think that might be more disgusting because you're just like basically reading toilet paper. You can probably.
I'm not saying it's all of it's gross. I'm not saying it's not gross.
Yeah. Nobody should ever use the bathroom. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
You have an Archie comic book?
It's in a drawer, so I feel like it's safe.
Cute because your kitty's named Archie.
So that's my cute poop reading.
So only on brand, only on brand press materials.
Yes. Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Yes. That I'll accept.
That's our new. We've got a new.
I'm Andy, so I can only read instructions from the board game. Candyland.
There you go.
Only one-to-one.
Because it's not going to be Andy Cap cartoons. I mean, fuck God, what an awful comic strip.
Was that the military one?
No, Andy Cap was like, he had French fries. Wasn't there like little, there was like shitty potato fries, twos that were his.
I don't remember.
It was a comic strip, and then it was also just like outsourced to like a chip brand.
Yeah, it was
and
a bad chip.
I need to Google this.
But like, it was like a potato. It's like a deep fried potato like string kind of situation. Mm-hmm. Okay. And But it was like it's a weird. It's like almost the same corny thing that happened with Rap Snacks at a certain point, where some like entertainment brand licensed themselves out to some random food brand, basically.
Right. Yeah. I will say I was at Hot Topic buying gifts for my niece, which was really fun. And they had Mountain Dew socks. And I was like, I'm into this.
That's dope.
That's something that's I good. Could get into.
Yeah. I think people of all age can appreciate a pair of Mountain Dew socks.
Like, yeah. I'll take that crossover.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
We have to take a break. We'll be right back.
BRB.
Hey, everybody. We're back on Lady to Lady. This is Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
This is Andy.
Hello, Andy. Let's do a lady problem.
Please.
Y'all, send us lady problems. We actually need some. So if you've been sitting on one, don't sit on it.
That sounds uncomfortable.
Yeah, really, get it out there.
Get it out from under your butt and call us at 323-6-BUTT-30. That's what the butt's for. Mm-hmm. Or email us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Lady problems, do you have them? Lady problems, do you have them? People have them.
Hey ladies, I'm calling in with a lady problem. I don't know if you can hear behind me, but my neighbor's dog just barks all day and all night. I mean, I think you can probably hear it. I can hear it like inside the house with all the closed windows and doors. I looked into making a noise complaint, and you have to like take video and like go talk to the people and like all this stuff. Like, I looked at their front door and they have like a gun sign on it. And like, I know I just need to go talk to them. But they seem a little scary. My partner doesn't want to do it either. And like, I feel so bad for this dog. So if you can just like give me the pump up to like go do this, because it's driving me insane. Like, I just want to sit on my patio and this dog is barking. So, thanks ladies. Love you a lot. Have a good day. Bye.
Oh, we can hear the puppy.
I feel really bad for the dog.
Yeah, I feel bad for the dog. And the
God, it's so hard when, like, you know an animal's in that position and you're just like, you can't really do anything.
Get a fucking dog if you can't.
If you can get somebody who's a friend of yours who has no stake in this to act like a neighbor that they can't hear, like say, like, I'm a neighbor from down the street. They're not really a neighbor from down the street.
I like this.
Like, you could have like fake neighbors go over and ask them to like make sure the dog's okay. Yeah. Either that or like there's citizen apps. There's all these different apps for, you know, like having noise in the neighborhood sometimes. I think some of those have like options. I don't know, dog snacks, throw them over the fence. We used to, when I lived in Baltimore, people would just have dogs out behind their house that just like their main purpose was to bark.
Yeah.
And for you to not be able to get in their backyard. And so we used to just run down these alleys and it would set all these dogs off. So we'd ride our bikes down an alley just to hear the like entire street worth of dogs bark at us as we went past and down. I mean, I feel so bad for dogs like that. I think there are some, I think having like a friend of yours who has no stake in it at all, go over there and you not even acknowledge that it's a friend of yours, that this is a neighbor. I don't know. Could be
this
something.
This is interesting. I like this.
I wouldn't have
gone a local actor.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, go on Craigslist, book an actor, a dog crisis actor. Let's get him out there.
I mean, with someone like this, like, I do feel like you have to go the, like, flies with honey route because they seem a little scary. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you're asking to, like, get the, you know, for encouragement to go talk to them, and I would try to do the really sweet route of, like, hey, like, I just want to say hi. I'm your neighbor. You know, I've noticed I'm here a lot of the time and your dog's barking. And I, you know, I'm wondering if there's just like anything we could do. So it's taken care of during the day. I mean, I don't know what you say. What do you fucking say to someone like this?
Why is the dog barking? Because they're being left alone all day? Like, it sounds like
that's what it seems like.
I assume they're not home. Right.
And I don't know, like, if the dog is truly just, I don't know if it's an indoor dog or an outdoor dog.
Yeah.
Do you guys think it's indoor or outdoor?
probably outdoor.
I guess I assumed indoor, but I think I'm only thinking that because she's hearing it from inside, so I'm not.
If it's inside, I think if it's inside, it's like an even entirely different. Maybe you can, if you're inside a place and the dog is barking, maybe see if you can't go to the neighbor next to theirs on the other side and see if you can't get backup or help from possibly a neighbor above them or a neighbor below them or somebody else. Not like a petition situation, but get somebody else who has your back on it, possibly.
Yeah, that's interesting, yeah. And then go over there together?
Yeah, yeah. But, sometimes it's just like bring a bag of dog treats over and be like, what's your dog's name? Or I can only think about like the nice neighbor way of doing it. But if they're like have like a gun sign, I don't know.
I wish I had more details because it's like there are. I mean, I don't know also what city you're in because I'm like, I don't know if you're in LA, like our rescues are so completely under-resourced right now that it's like, I don't even know who you could call. But there are rescues that will, there are like some, you might want to like Google this, but if they're using the dog for security, there are rescues that will pay for that person to get a security system in exchange for them surrendering the dog to the rescue. Mm. So you may want to Google and see if there's an organization like that around you, because sometimes these people, like they don't actually even want a pet. Like they just want something. They truly are fine with that deal, kind of. Mm-hmm. And I do
think it is worth it trying to go over there and like meet them, I think, in general. I mean, I think like that's a very unfriendly sign, but it's also like you don't necessarily know what's going on. Like it could just be like that's a weird fronting toxic thing they're doing, but they're actually like not that bad too. Like
maybe they just like they like Nerf guns. Maybe just like maybe it's written in very small print underneath the part where it says take my guns from my cold dead hands. It's actually Nerf guns from my cold dead hands because they're cold, because they're going to reach and hug you, like but it's very tiny. It's like that thin blue line, but if you like get close enough, but the thin blue line's actually just blue letters that say cops really need to have some oversight.
Yeah.
You're like, I didn't think enough to get close enough to your truck to read the blue lines.
Well, and there is like genuinely a part of me that also feels like not like going over being friendly might could help the situation versus like that's a person that obviously is like paranoid and like isn't very friendly because who knows what experiences or whatever's happened in their life. But like you could be a person that is like a nice neighbor and you got along and like that doesn't help exacerbate the issue anymore. Like it's like a lot of these people are very isolated and you know, paranoid for any number of reasons. But like if they're your neighbor, like you could be part of a change that it's like, oh, actually, well, I have like this neighbor that's nice. Like, I mean, you know, whatever.
But I wonder, like what action, what's the ideal action for this neighbor to take?
I mean, I'm assuming they're relatively new. Otherwise, like I'm, you know what I mean? Like, has this person been living there for a really long time? Is the dog new? Like, you know, I would want to know that information. It sounds like a new problem.
Maybe. Maybe they just moved in. I feel like the dog's, like what needs to happen is these dogs need to be walked and stimulated and cared for. Like, I also have no faith in humanity.
My thought is that you try something nice for, it's like be nice. Then if not, fuck you. You can always, there is always a 1-800 number that you can call to get a Book of Mormon sent to them. And then you can have an option to have that Book of Mormon sent to them by a representative themselves. That is something you could do to somebody.
Do you have that number, Andy? Because I think our listeners may want that.
That's just
I would never say for anybody to do that. I think my partner Linus was when we were moving into our place one of these times, and I was at work two Mormon, so like the Mormon kids came up and they were like, can we help you out? And then Lannis was like, sure. And then like, they like helped move all the stuff into the house. And they were like, can we talk to you about the Mormon faith? And then Lannis was like, I'm transgender. You don't like us. And they stood there for a second. They're like, fair enough. And then turned to walk away.
Like, oh, yeah. All right. Got it.
So what I'm saying is the Mormons need to do this.
That's a good point. And those missionaries are young.
Right.
They're naive. Virile. They're sheltered. Yeah.
Yeah. They are.
Virile.
That's a good. I like that. That's a good idea. Yeah. I think, like we said, like the try to be nice first, maybe make a connection and then be like, your dog needs to be fucking walked. Obviously, we don't know if that's going to work. If you need to do a noise complaint, take video of it and then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a multi-front situation.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe them feeling self-conscious about the dog's barking will lead to them coming.
Some people,
at lunch,
I mean, who know? You know, I don't know. We don't know these people, obviously, like we said.
Yeah.
Some people aren't aware that their dog is barking all the time when they're gone.
They might
that's
not know.
That's also true.
Yeah. That is a thing. Like some people just don't know because they're literally not home. Who knows? I mean, they might not know that it's happening as much as it is too.
Yeah, I would just take like the lesson of the movie The Sandlot, like maybe a little bit to heart. Hopefully, a little bit where you're just like, oh, like it could be.
Could just be James Earl Jones in that house.
Exactly.
And he's like, very lonely.
Yeah.
I Googled this just real quick to see if there was an app for it. There's one called Bark Sense, and it is an app that will count how many barks a dog barks. It will at least track the dog sounds and record it, and you see how long or loud and how for what length of time barking. So it at least would give you stats. It's called Bark Sense.
Got it.
I just am like doing random Google searches. Here's something. Control device detects it's dog silencer max. I don't know if this is good for the dog or not. I'm just saying I found this. Detects dog barking and emits ultrasonic sound waves to train neighbor dogs to stop barking.
I was going to say, I saw that was the next thing down and I was like, I don't know if an ultrasonic weapon is exactly what we should be just telling somebody to hit their neighbor with.
I don't know if it's a weapon or not, but. It seems like a decent option if obviously I don't want it to be harmful to the dog, but. Maybe a lot.
You're gonna knock on that door, You should probably take some like food over, because the next thing they're gonna be like, are you the one that's trying to silence my dog with an ultrasonic wave gun?
And then you put an ultrasonic wave gun sign on your
just a little training thing. Whistle every time they bark. Oh, boop,
boop, boop. I also had a thought that you could. I just had this idea. You could tell them that you have a podcast. And that's why the barking is such an issue. So
that's not a bad idea. I mean, like, you work from home and you're always podcasting and you know.
Yeah. Like it's interrupting my
and
workspace.
Like they'll get starstruck, obviously.
Exactly. Yes. And then they'll know that you can put them on notice. Mm-hmm. You have a platform. I remember one time when I was bitching out that guy who was fucking with me, the Nissan Versa. Dealership, and I was like, I have a podcast, and I will be happy to mention it.
I need to start sponsoring. You need to start threatening to sponsor places as a threat. Like, I will mention, I will say that I got a tasty sandwich here, and people will come here and they'll see how bad you are, and they'll make frowny faces and reviews.
Oh, yeah. Your money buys our silence.
We had our mob protection.
Yeah. Yeah, it does confer a large amount of protection. Having a podcast is great security. Yeah.
I just think that like when I'm nervously checking, when I was nervously checking all of the apps to see where my album was at, I did what I did the last time I released an album, which is like reviews helped an album chart or at least get it featured. And so I've always left a review for my own album, but it's the only review. And I said it, so you can see I've reviewed my own album. You see my username is Andy Wancio, and you just it's so true. So yeah, leave an album review for your friend's dog. I don't know.
Yeah.
Play get some the fat dog. To, yeah, at the dog. I was gonna say get the dog to start a podcast, but it pretty much already has one.
Yes. Yeah. So. We wish we had the hustle of that dog.
I wish.
Good luck. I'm sorry. This is like an age old problem, sucks. And I hope it gets better.
I should say that I got beaten by the dog. The dog's barking Christmas songs in the charts.
God.
You did?
Yeah.
But that's like. Hell yeah. That's a classic. That's like you getting beaten by the Nutcracker. Like,
oh, it was okay. Because I released my first EP in January, and I realized that it did so well in January because like everybody drops albums as tax write-offs in December, and then you're competing against comedic Christmas albums on the chart.
And then, like, are those dogs getting residuals? Are those even dogs, or is that just like a keyboard? I mean, there was an original dog to make that noise. I got a lot of questions.
What's happening with this dog?
I think it was a keyboard, but now I need a documentary.
Yeah, because somebody barked for that keyboard sound.
We can make it a limited series if we have one episode where somebody just keeps staring off into the corner of a room.
Yes. Oh, I mean, it's four episodes at least, honey. Oh. We get two interviews. We're spreading that out.
Mm-hmm. It's got Moby's definitely on it for some reason. It's like I think what we're doing to these animals is not cure. You could see from my vegan tattoos that I don't think these animals should be kept inside of even this synthesizer. It should be tortured with these songs of a Christian society.
Moby really has seamlessly transitioned from dance music to Talking Head.
Yeah,
He's my friends.
And what a small head.
I think it's hilarious because there's never footage of him from that time because my friends who all through raves like had to bring synthesizers allegedly would have to hire out synthesizers for him to fake play during sets.
Oh my God.
And really? So there's none of these documentaries ever have footage of him playing any songs at Woodstock 99. I think what's the cutest thing is that like Jonathan Davis has turned out to be a pretty nice guy in most of these documentaries. He's like pretty even.
I don't know who that is.
Corn guy, right?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. You're right. Like he like in the, I'm trying to remember because I remember the, he's in Woodstock 99 documentary, right?
There's two different ones. One was on Max and the other one was on Netflix. And then there's also a friend of mine. I'll have to send it to you. A friend of mine turned out she like was, we were talking about this last year when I was in New York. She went to Woodstock 99. And not only did she go, she still had, she catalogs all these, she's Three-Minute Rule on Instagram. I only say this because she fucking has cataloged New York City's dance music and music culture, and especially black music culture in New York for a long time. But she, when we started talking about Woodstock 99, she fucking scanned the program pages from the Woodstock 99 festival guide, and she sent them to me, and I have them.
Amazing.
I'll send them to
holy shit.
That rules. I was in Woodstock when that happened. On a family vacation, and me and our friend Krista, we were so mad that they wouldn't let us go to Woodstock 99. That we just like, we were just like angrily watching MTV all day. And we're just like, we're not going to go in the lake. Fuck you guys. Watch. You won't let us go to this festival. And then at a certain point, we just turned off the TV and then we went back by the fire. We were like, maybe our parents were right and we don't need to talk about it.
Oh, really? So you realized like the shit was going down because you were watching in real time?
We watched it live on TV. We were like, oh, they've started burning things. Okay. Well, I remember watching it like from 5 miles away from it and being like, oh no. I guess maybe we shouldn't be there.
I was like 14. And like the thing that never ceases to just like crack my face about that whole situation is that Jewel was there.
I know. Poor Jewel, just like, ha, 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 ha.
Well, as we all know, Jewel lived in, in her car for a while. So
she was ready for this. She's like,
she was ready for the elements.
And for this. Mm-hmm. Real quick, I do need to plug, as we mentioned, Jonathan Davis from Korn. I just don't need everyone on this call to know that Jonathan Davis has a pet accessory company called Freak on a Leash. And it's all
incredible.
We're talking about transitioning to middle age gracefully. That is,
it's amazing. He's got little like studded collars. It's all very gothy stuff. He has a neon collection for dogs.
Does Jack have any freak on a leash?
He doesn't because like he has a Jenny
Jack is a freak on a leash.
He is a freak on a leash. He doesn't need it. Because he already has a Jenny Lewis leash that like is already in rotation. We don't need to have a corn. Like there's already. How many leashes can one dog have? You know what I mean?
True.
I do have it bookmarked and I think about it often because there is a little hoodie that says Freak on a Leash on it.
While I was holiday shopping, I wanted to buy every friend's dog's an outfit, but I was like, God, I don't know my friend's dog's outfit sizes.
Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah.
That's a tough call. I can't tell from just looking at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard. I just dropped it in the chat for everybody here, but it's freakonaleash.com. Highly recommend. It's just very...
Oh my God, it's so cute.
Can I tell you guys how I found out about Korn is when I was in junior high, the kids that took wood shop, I did a project where they could you could screen print on your PE t-shirt. And all of a sudden, everyone in my PE class had a PE t-shirt that said Korn. I was like, I guess I'll look into this.
All right,
this is cute shit, Brandy.
Well, I think answered the lady problem.
Okay, so get your neighbor's dog some corn,
some freaking leash stuff. Yeah.
Get him some corn.
Dog encourages punkness.
Actually, that's not a bad idea. Like some freak on a leash shit I would enjoy the shit out of.
He needs
a cool collar. He needs a little vest.
Yeah.
You know?
This dog is just trying to make a makeover. Get some accessories.
It also sounds like that dog could use a copy of my album.
yes. Where can that dog find it, Andy? Where can that dog find your album and you on social media while they're looking?
I just come out and part of my next set is all in dog barks. You can find it on any of the things on iTunes my friends have been nice enough to download it on iTunes and that's been super sweet, but listen to it anywhere you want on Spotify. We got a new hire here at work, and my coworker was bringing him by my desk and said, "This is Andy. Andy's famous on Spotify."
Hey.
And
I was like,
I don't know why it took a bit of like, I'm also famous on other platforms.
Thank you. Apple as well. Thank you.
You can get it on Bandcamp as well. The Kill Rock Stars has a good Bandcamp, and they are also good people to buy from. They're a good label.
Yeah.
Another good label is Burn This Records.
Hello. Hey.
Yeah. Thanks for the plug, Andy.
And let everyone know where they can find you online, Andy, to see you do comedy, etc.
I'm at Andy Awancio on all of the things. I am not abandoning any social media platform because I'm trans and as long as there's two of us somewhere, we'll still be there.
Fuck yeah.
Perfect tagline. Oh, yeah. Thank you for hanging out with us. It's so great to see you. And thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
3, 2, 3.
6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hey, ladies. I went shopping for new jeans the other day, and I was at the Levi's outlet, and I was looking at all these different kind of jeans. My body type has changed, so I wanted to try on a bunch of different pair of pants, and I literally heard Tess in my head talking about how she had, like, some bell bottoms or flares that were really flattering on her. So I tried on a pair, and they are amazing. I am so stoked. So thank you, guys. Love you. Bye.
Hey, y'all. Michaela here. I was just listening to the Lady Problem for the Short for Lizard episode, where the person who wrote in talked about having to teach her husband how to make a bed, and y'all came to the conclusion he should just Google it. Fun fact, there's a website called Let Me Google That For You. I used to send it to anybody who asked me a stupid question that it's quicker to just Google it, because I'm petty like that. What happens is it pops up with a video of someone typing the question into Google, and then it will display all the Google results for them. It is petty and slightly humiliating for folks to receive those, and I am petty and enjoy humiliating people who should just be Googling things. So there's a quick fact for you in case you guys want to use that in the future. Love your show.
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine. Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at @lady2ladycomedy and give your input on Lady Problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok @BabsGray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker.